You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. Cisco releases urgent patches for their adaptive security appliances. Android-powered smart TVs could expose Gmail inboxes. The FTC refunds millions to Amazon Ring customers. The DOJ charges crypto mixers with money laundering. A critical vulnerability has been discovered in the Flowmon network monitoring tool. A Swiss blood donation company reopens following a ransomware attack. Multiple vulnerabilities are discovered in the Brocade SANNAV storage area network management application. Brokewell is a new Android banking Trojan. Meta's ad business continues to face scrutiny in the EU. Ann Johnson, host of Microsoft Security Afternoon Cyber Tea podcast, speaks with LinkedIn's CISO, Jeff Belknap. And an AI deepfake sparks a community crisis. It's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Cisco revealed that its adaptive security appliances, hybrid devices featuring firewalls and VPNs, were compromised by state-sponsored hackers in a campaign dubbed Arcane Door. The attack involved exploiting two zero-day vulnerabilities to infiltrate various global government networks. Cisco's Talos security team, along with Microsoft researchers, identified the hacking group as UAT-4356 or STORM-1849, suggesting high-level espionage motives without previous known activities. The hackers deployed specialized tools targeting Cisco's devices, indicative of their sophisticated espionage-driven agenda. Although Cisco has not officially blamed any country, sources claim the campaign aligns with China's interests. The intrusions, which peaked between December 2023 and January of this year, leveraged the vulnerabilities to execute and maintain malicious code within Cisco's hardware. The more severe of these, called Line Dancer, allowed the execution of custom malicious commands directly on the devices, while the other, called Line Runner, ensured malware persistence even after device reboots. To mitigate these threats, Cisco has released patches and additional security measures. Furthermore, a UK cybersecurity advisory noted that physically unplugging affected devices to force a hard reboot could disrupt hacker access. This incident is part of a broader trend where edge devices, such as email servers and VPNs, are exploited as initial footholds for network breaches. The trend is emphasized in Mandiant's recent M-Trends report, which notes that state-sponsored groups, especially from China and Russia, are increasingly targeting these sorts of devices. This shift highlights a critical vulnerability in network defenses, underscoring the strategic significance of edge devices in modern cyber conflicts. An alarming security loophole in Android power TVs could potentially expose users' Gmail inboxes if attackers gain physical access to the device. The vulnerability was highlighted by Senator Ron Wyden's office during a review of streaming TV privacy practices. A YouTuber demonstrated that by sideloading a web browser on an Android TV, one could access the Gmail inbox of the account used to set up the TV without needing a password, exploiting the persistent login from the Android OS. Initially, Google described this as expected behavior, but has since recognized it as a security flaw and is working on a fix. This vulnerability underscores the risks of using Google accounts on devices like TVs, not typically associated with personal data browsing, especially in settings like businesses or when resold. Google is now updating software on Google TV devices to prevent such unauthorized access and advising users to keep their devices updated. The Federal Trade Commission is distributing over $5.6 million in refunds to customers of Amazon's Ring following a 2023 settlement over privacy breaches. The FTC's complaint highlighted that Ring failed to secure its devices against hackers and employee misuse, leading to unauthorized access to customer videos and accounts, including surveillance of private areas. At least 55,000 U.S. customers were affected. Ring also used customer videos to train AI algorithms without consent. Over 117,000 affected Ring device owners are receiving PayPal payments, which must be redeemed within 30 days. This follows a separate $25 million FTC settlement with Amazon over retaining children's recordings on Alexa devices. The U.S. Department of Justice has charged Keon Rodriguez and William Lonergan Hill, founders of Samurai Wallet, with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business and money laundering conspiracy. Their platform, Samurai, facilitated over $2 billion in unlawful transactions and laundered more than $100 million, allegedly targeting criminal elements by anonymizing cryptocurrency transactions. Arrests were made in the U.S. and Portugal, with extradition pending for Hill. The charges highlight Samurai's role in enabling large-scale money laundering and sanctions evasion. International collaboration led to the seizure of Samurai's domain and app. Rodriguez and Hill face maximum penalties of up to 25 years in prison if convicted. A critical vulnerability has been disclosed in Progress Flowmon, a network monitoring tool used by over 1,500 companies globally, including Sega and Volkswagen. Rated 10 out of 10 in severity, the flaw allows unauthenticated attackers to remotely access the Flowmon web interface and execute arbitrary commands via a specially crafted API request. Researchers at Rhino Security Labs demonstrated this by injecting commands to plant a web shell and escalate privileges. Progress Software has urged customers to update their systems to the patched versions, although exploit code is available and some servers are exposed online. There are no reports of active exploitation yet. Okta Pharmer, a major plasma donation company, is reopening some of its 180 global centers after a ransomware attack by the Black Suit Gang forced a shutdown for nearly a week. The Switzerland-based firm, one of the largest independent plasma companies, detected unauthorized network activity on April 17th, leading to an ongoing investigation with external experts. Black Suit, which is a rebrand of the Royal Ransomware Group known for attacking the city of Dallas, claimed to have stolen business, laboratory data, and donor information. They reportedly breached Okta Pharma's systems through VMware, a platform recently identified by Mandiant as increasingly targeted by ransomware actors. Okta Pharma has advised donors to confirm the operational status of their local centers. Security researcher Pierre Barr has identified 18 vulnerabilities in the Brocade SANNAV storage area network management application, including critical issues that allow remote attackers root access. These flaws, with 9 assigned CVE identifiers, expose fiber channel switches to attacks that could intercept credentials and manipulate data. Key vulnerabilities include unsecured APIs, the use of HTTP instead of HTTPS, and clear text syslog traffic. The SANNAV appliance also has default root access, publicly known root passwords, unauthenticated Postgres database access, and insecure Docker configurations. These vulnerabilities could allow a full appliance takeover and data theft. Despite initial rejection, Brocade acknowledged and patched these issues in SANNAV version 2.3.1 with advisories recently published by Broadcom and patches from HPE. Security researchers at fraud risk company Threat Fabric have identified a new Android banking Trojan called Brokewell, which captures every user action on a device from screen touches to text inputs. Delivered via deceptive Google Chrome update notification, Brokewell is actively developed to provide comprehensive device control and data theft. It features capabilities like overlay attacks to steal login credentials, interception of cookies, and capture of device interactions. The Trojan can also remotely execute gestures, click on screen elements, and adjust device settings. Developed by a threat actor known as Baron Samedit, Brokewell leverages a custom loader to bypass security restrictions introduced in Android 13. This malware poses significant risks due to its ability to evade detection and is expected to evolve into a malware-as-a-service operation. Meta's targeted advertising business is facing potential legal challenges in the EU following an opinion from the Court of Justice of the EU's Advocate General, who stated that the use of personal data for ads should be time-limited under GDPR's privacy laws. This could affect Meta's profit from tracking and profiling users. The non-binding opinion precedes a court ruling expected in 3 to 6 months, which historically often aligns with the Advocate General's views. The opinion also touches on issues of data retention and proportionality concerning personalized advertising. Moreover, the case involves a privacy complaint against Meta's use of data without sufficient legal basis, including for sensitive personal data like sexual orientation, raising significant implications for Meta's operations in the EU. Coming up after the break, Ann Johnson, host of Microsoft Security's Afternoon Cyber Tea podcast, speaks with LinkedIn's CISO Jeff Belknap. Stay with us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Ann Johnson is host of Microsoft Security's Afternoon Cyber Tea podcast. And in her most recent episode, she spoke with the CISO at LinkedIn, Jeff Belknap.
Today, I am joined by Jeff Belknap, who is the Chief Information Security Officer and Vice President of Engineering at LinkedIn. Jeff brings more than 20 years of experience in security and network architecture with experience in financial services and the telecommunications sector. Jeff joined LinkedIn in 2019 as the Chief Information Security Officer, and in this role, he is responsible for safeguarding LinkedIn's member and customer data, as well as helping the business navigate risk. Jeff has held several security leadership roles at various technology companies and previously served on the board of directors of the Bay Area CISO Council. Before joining LinkedIn, Jeff was responsible for physical and information security at Slack. Welcome to Afternoon Cyber Tea, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be fun.
I think that anybody who is in security long-term knows that it's very mission-driven work, and the people who stay in the industry have a service focus. So it's good to hear you reinforce that. One of the things I admire about you is you really do have this effortless way of transitioning between business and technology sides of the house, so to speak. Do you think of yourself as a business guy who knows technology or a technologist that has strong business acumen? And what do you think is more important for the modern CISO?
This is a tough one. I think I certainly find myself complaining about CISOs and security leaders being bucketed in kind of that specialized IT bucket. And I think the reality is, especially for CISOs and even more so for just generically security leaders, you have to really think about your job and the sort of maturity of the career path as being the early days of CFOs or GCs, in that, you know, you can be a great leader and a competent executive, but if you've never opened Excel before, you really probably don't belong leading finance. If you've never done anything customer facing, you probably shouldn't be leading a sales function. And similarly, if you've never practiced law, probably a bad idea to lead the legal function. So I think you have to sort of look at it as this, it's not an either or. You're not a technologist or a business leader or an operator. You are an executive in an organization, and you are helping that organization be as successful and grow the way it needs to grow and thrive the way it needs to thrive from the perspective of the part of the organization that you are responsible and accountable for. So I think the other thing to keep in mind in terms of thinking about what's important here is wherever your organization goes in the future, it is going to be in a way seeking harmony with technology and seeking to leverage technology to achieve the goals of that organization. And I think the CISO role, wherever it goes, is less about picking that side and focusing on one aspect of your skill set or another, and thinking about how you can really use all your knowledge and all your skills to focus on leveling up that organization and helping it succeed.
I think the CISO at LinkedIn, which is a talent site at its essence, is going to have a point of view. We've all heard the number. There's a few million or more open cyber roles worldwide and industry-wide. And every cyber leader I talk to knows there's an issue, but they get tripped up on the how. How are they going to solve it? How do you think about cyber talent needs at LinkedIn, and how does that translate into your strategies to source and also to retain folks on your team?
So I think certainly the number varies depending on who you talk to, but I think one thing is for sure, the demand for high quality talent in the security industry has not gone away and is not going away. Certainly markets may rise and fall and those numbers may go up and down, but the thing that has never changed, even as we've gone through macroeconomic shifts in the hiring industry, is it is really hard for us to both find the people we're looking for, but also to describe to people that are in the industry or wanting to get into the industry what we're looking for. What do we want from those people? And I think the most important thing is over time, we're getting better at understanding what we want from those people and understanding something that I believe very deeply in, which is like we have to build some of those people. We can't just expect them to come to us with 5 or 10 years of experience in all of the different various domains that happen in cybersecurity, especially because cybersecurity is an inherently multidisciplinary domain.
Be sure to check out the Microsoft Security Afternoon Cyber Tea podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, in a quiet suburb of Baltimore, whispers of scandal turned into a storm of controversy as accusations against Pikesville High School's principal Eric Eiswirt spread like wildfire. Allegedly captured on audio and shared via email, a recording of Eiswirt's voice spewed racist and anti-Semitic remarks, causing an uproar among the community and leading to his temporary removal. The impact was immediate and devastating. Hate-filled messages flooded social media, and the school community reeled under the weight of the allegations against the respected principal. But the story took an unexpected turn when a police investigation revealed that the voice everyone thought was Eiswirt was actually an AI deepfake, and it was allegedly masterminded by the school's former athletic director, Dejan Darion. As the police dug deeper, they uncovered more than just technological deception. Darion was also implicated in financial misdeeds, including unauthorized payments, and he now faces several charges, including disrupting school activities, theft, retaliating against a witness, and stalking. This saga of deception highlights not only the vulnerabilities exposed by advanced technology, but also the deep wounds inflicted in a community when trust is shattered by those entrusted with its youth. It's a stark reminder of the crucial importance of not rushing to judgment, especially in an era where sophisticated AI tools can craft startlingly convincing falsehoods. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.